11 minutes past six, a bit of a worrying day for Australia, worrying economic sign. The jobless rate has hit a 12-year high. It's at 6.3% nationally. Youth unemployment has worsened. It's now sitting at 14.5%. So what to make of it? Brendan O'Connor joins us now, Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations. Brendan O'Connor, thank you very much for your time. Does this indicate that the government's infrastructure projects, particularly the jobs in construction that come along with that, are now really important and that we should just get on with having them happen?
Well, they should happen as a matter of course. And when we were in government, of course, we went from 20th in the world to first as an infrastructure country. So we don't need any lectures from the current government about investment. It's absolutely vital. And we've got no arguments with the government about investing capital to create jobs and create improvements to productivity and the like. So no one's arguing about investment. It's about where we invest. But you're right, the unemployment figure is very high. And it looks like there's no end in sight. And youth unemployment, in particular, it is concerningly high.
Do we have any plans for youth unemployment, incidentally?
Well, there are a couple of initiatives that the government's introduced to create incentives, but they don't seem to be picking up as well as the government would like, and indeed the opposition would like to see it improve. I think we need to dedicate more resources to youth unemployment, just on that 14.5%, as you say, highest for a very long time. If you break it down for the teens, that is 15 years old to 19, it's nearly double that again. Those people not earning or learning in their late teens have got an unemployment rate north of 20%, and so there has to be something done immediately. There's a massive jobs challenge for the government, but there's a jobs crisis in youth unemployment.
Agreed, and that's a worldwide problem, but I don't really recall hearing anything much about it from Labor when they were in power. I don't really recall it being much of a focus for this government either, notwithstanding their kind of initiatives to do with earning and learning and getting people off the dole as a kind of incentive for young people, whether or not you accept that's a good idea. Why haven't we tackled this as a country?
Well, I think firstly, the previous Labor government did tackle unemployment well. I'm not saying perfectly, but certainly well in response to the global financial crisis. But there's no doubt, Waleed, that the one area that has escaped us is youth unemployment, in that it not only, there was once a point where it was double the national average of unemployment. It is now well in excess of double. And if you, as I say, if you look at the late teens, it's worse again now. There needs to be much more attention here. Of course.
Well, so what's your plan on it?
Well, so first and foremost, you'd be wanting to ensure that young people are retained in education. I mean, our preference is, and indeed we put a lot of stock in increasing the length of time people stay at school. And if not, in failing that, of course, we want them to be in structured and accredited training or, of course, in sustainable employment. But we're seeing a very significant cohort doing neither of those things. Well, and for that reason, there needs to be greater resources dedicated to these young people. There needs to be, for example, more appropriate services to connect them with employers. There needs to be a better engagement with employers about ensuring that they look to young people. There was once a time, for example, that entry-level jobs went to young people. That's not always the case. Now you've got people falling out of the labour market at the age of 50 and going into jobs, for example, in fast food chains that were never the domain of people other than young people. Entry-level jobs are also disappearing because of technological change. So there are a whole series of challenges that needs to be dealt with by this country, and the government needs to lead the way on that.
All right, one of the other big elements of this figure is the downturn in the mining sector. There's really nothing that the government, the previous or this one, could do about that, is there?
Look, the mining sector is absolutely significant to our economy, but it's not a large employer per se. What you've seen now is consumer sentiment at its lowest point in 4 years. So you saw the Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index fall very sharply yesterday. Bill Evans, the Westpac economist, said this is very disturbing. Why is that important? Because consumer confidence being down, business confidence being down, means people are not spending, which means economic growth is declining, and certainly there's a dampener on the economy, which also means there are fewer people are likely to be employed. So it really needs to be greater confidence in our economy, and we believe a lot of that is attributable to the failure by this government to have a budget that would have been effective in growing the economy and creating that confidence required.
Isn't it also attributable to the fact that the budget can't get passed because you and other parties that are represented in the Senate simply won't pass it? So there's an enormous amount of uncertainty. There's no stability. In the meantime, the deficit keeps blowing out because the savings measures that the government's trying to get through can't get through. And we have a confidence problem. This is a perfect cycle or a perfect storm. And you, as well as the government, are complicit in it, aren't you?
Well, we'd be complicit in the dishonesty of the Prime Minister if we passed measures that were in the that were in the budget, Waleed, that were completely at odds with the commitments made by the Prime Minister prior to the election. And indeed, further to that, some of the measures that we have prevented passing are contractionary. They would not lead to economic growth. Indeed, they'd lead to more uncertainty and the greater likelihood that people will not spend. For example, if you're imposing greater taxes, if you're reducing the pension, people are very diffident and very unlikely to expend capital in the economy. So we would argue that this budget has not been one that creates economic growth, and indeed we are entirely justified in not supporting measures when they're both economically bad and indeed they are things that were not promised before the election.
Other news that emerged today was the retirement, the brought forward retirement of Labor Senator, and I think we can say party legend, John Faulkner, who's leaving the political stage. He was speaking at his press conference today. He put it this way.
I've been extremely lucky to have such a long and fulfilling career in Parliament. But it's over and it's time to go.
Over and time to go. Why did he bring it forward?
That's something I'm not sure if he was asked that in his press conference. It's something you might have to ask him. But let me just, if I can, reflect on John Faulkner. I mean, he said he's been very lucky. Well, he may have been lucky, but he made his own luck. And he was, of course, a remarkable politician, a minister both in the Keating and Hawke administrations and the recent Rudd-Gillard administration. So enormous wealth of experience, did a lot of things in that time, was quite often a person not only a caucus member would go to for advice, but indeed prime ministers, and he'll be sorely missed.
Is the party weaker now?
Look, I think he's right in saying people, when they know they should go, and I think I believe John is such a committed person for the Labor Party, the Labor movement, that he'll always be accessible to those who may want to bend his ear and to seek counsel. So I don't think we'll lose him as an elder to the party. We'll just lose him as a senator. I guess that we can take some comfort in that.
And Jenny McAllister, Labor National President, is being reported everywhere today as being the likely replacement. Is that true?
I can't confirm that other than I've seen the reports. It's entirely due to the decisions that will occur in New South Wales. But, of course, with Senate appointments, they are a little easier for political parties during the course or between elections. Jenny McAllister would make an excellent candidate and an excellent senator.
John Faulkner was very big on party reform, particularly the relationship between the party and the union movement. Have you let him down a bit in not following through on a lot of his recommendations?
Well, it's not about letting him down. It's whether we do the right thing by the party and the community and the country. And I think I agree with some of the things that John said, but I don't agree with everything. So the great thing about our party and at national conference next year, while we'll have this out, there'll be further debate about the level, the extent to which you democratise the party. At the same time, you need sort of certain things that you impose, for example, like affirmative action. Electorate by electorate may not be democratic, but it's certainly ensured that Labor has produced some remarkable senior women politicians. So there is that balance between having grassroots democracy and at the same time having central decision-making. We've got to get the tension and balance right. We've got to certainly open up the party, and John was all about that. But we'll have that conference on full display next year, I think in July next year, will it? So we'll see what happens.
And you'll be having it without him, as he said today. Brendan O'Connor, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Waleed.
Shadow Minister for Employment and Workplace Relations. It's 21 minutes past six.